Some other things on the, what we left off with in much the Maimer, had the Amar Shmuel, the Tamer of Yosef, Hainu Damreinchi, Ya and Yusa Liudai, Ki Baraza Sumka Lususia Chivara. That poverty is something which is nice, good for the Yidden, like a red strap on a white horse. That was the Gemara. So, a few things on this idea of poverty. First of all, from a sefer called Rov Dagan, so he explains that Avraham Avinu, where the Midrash tells us, was given an option. Hashem told him, because that priest Ben Abbasarim, he said, you have a choice that you can either have for your offspring, like the Yidden, one of two things, either Shibud, or Gehenim. It's up to you. Can choose. So Avram took the Shivud option, and that's what we're holding today. However, he says, that being the case, says normally, who suffers more from the Shivud? It's the Shivud Malchus, whatever, it's the poor people, right? The rich people get by, you know, they have money, whatever, they can be quite comfortable in Galus, right? However, it's either one or the other. It's either Shivud Malchus or Gehenna. So the rich people, so they don't have so much Shibud Malchia, so they have to go for the other option. And in fact, as the Gemara says in Beitza, Asire kol yorde gehenim. Asire is being the wealthy. Ashirim. Who are the ones that are yorde gehenim? The Ashirim. So he says, very good. Why? Because since they didn't have the option of the galus, because they had it so good, they have to take the other option of gehenim. Whereas the poor people, since they mamish felt the Shibud Malchias, and then therefore they don't have to go through the Gehenim. That's why it's Ya'er, the Yaniyus of Israel. One idea. Another thing he brings from a sefer, Lishmoach Kalimudim, never heard that before, he brings a mashal. He says there was once a wealthy man who found himself a chassan, you know, for his daughter, and the chassan was a big lamdan, tremendous balmidos, everything. And so he sent for him to come to him, but he came from a very poor home. So the father, you know, gave him some old, you know, all he had was some old clothing, whatever, to put on him, because he came from a poor home. So he shows up to his new father-in-law, and he says, what? He says, you can't walk around like this, you know, I'm a rich man, you know, my chassan dressed like this. He says, no, here, go to the clothing store and pick yourself some nice clothing, whatever. So he says, no, I don't want to. I want to wear these old clothes, dafka. He says, why? He says, because if I wear these new clothes, nobody says anything, you know, I wear fancy clothes, okay. He says, dafka, if I wear the old clothes, what are people going to say? They're going to say, what's going on over here? This is the chassan. Look how he's dressed. And then they're going to look into a little bit, and then people will say, al tistakel v'kan kan el mashi yeshbo. You know, don't go by. He may look on the outside, you know, like thing, but you see, test him and you'll see he's a big balamdan and this and balmidos. Look, just look into. In other words, the fact that I'm dafka because I'm wearing old clothes, that'll awaken suspicion. If something's funny, like, why is he wearing these old clothes? And then people will look in, they'll see all my tremendous mileage. But if I wear nice clothes, they're not going to be able to think otherwise. Yeah, okay, fine. He's a, you know, son-in-law of a rich man, and that's the end of that. Yeah, so too with Kal Yisrael. Right? If we were to be rich, then the nations of the world will say, oh, yeah, of course, we know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked the Jewish people, because they're chashuv, you know, they're rich and this, whatever. So they're not going to, you know, check into us too much. Dafka lehefech, if we're poor, so then the nations of the world are going to say, this is a nation that God picks. And look at them; they're lowly, they're, you know, humble and you know, poor or whatever. So that'll awaken suspicion, and then they're going to look into it and say, wow, but look at them. If you look into them, you know, it's going to cause them to look into us and see how great we really are. So that's why the Yayan Yusel Yisrael, that the poverty is good for us, because it brings out our best midos. Otherwise, it would just look, okay, fine, you know, but stuff, because we're poor, and people are going to ask, why does Hashem pick us? And they're going to look into us and see how great we really are. Another thing he says from the Chozeh Miluvlin, to now tie it into a little bit about that, we haven't done that yet, with the strap on the horse. Why is it like a red strap on a white horse? So according to this pshat, it's all kinds of pshat. According to this pshat, the red strap on the horse is it makes it ugly. Yeah, different pshat. But according, let's say we'll take it, a nice white horse, you put this red strap on it. So Jose Mlevin says that even though the red strap and the white horse make it look ugly, but where does it look ugly? It looks ugly when it walks outside with the strap on it, harness or whatever, right? But when it comes inside and you bring it back in, break it back home, so at home you take it off and it looks like the beauty comes out again, the nice fancy white horse. Right? Only outside it looks ugly. So he says that's a lesson that for Klal Yisrael, right? That when we have to look nice, he said we should only look nice and show our beauty, our wealth, in other words, in our home. But when you're outside, you have to keep it low-key, because the goyim. When the goyim see our wealth or whatever, that's going to cause jealousy and it'll only lead to bad things. Right? I remember we heard from, I think, a friend was talking about once with Lama Tisrao, with Yaakov Avinu. It's an unbelievable thing. Yaakov Avinu tells his sons, go down to Egypt and to go ask for food or whatever. And Rashi brings it down that they had food, right? So why was he telling them to go down to Egypt? Because they didn't want the goyim to look at it and say, wow, look at them, they have food and we're all starving. That's not fair, and they're going to cause tremendous jealousy. So he said, so go down. But when you think of it, it's an unbelievable thing. Not like he said, go to the corner store and buy a few things just so, we're sending them out to Egypt, sending them out to the Makom, is the worst Makom Tuma in the world, sending them, it's not just like across the street. I'm sure it was a big journey, all the way down to Mitzrayim. And the dangers, was the Sakana. They didn't want to send Binyamin because of the dangers, that might befall them on the way. And in fact, they did, run into problems in Mitzrayim. And all this, why? This is a goyim. Is it worth it? The Ad Kedei Kach? They say, yeah. Ad Kedei Kach, to go through all that just to put on a show, just so the goyim wouldn't, don't see our wealth and leads to bad things, the jealousy. And it brings down here Rem is also in the Seder, right? We say in the Simanim of the Seder, Shulchan Arach Safun Barach. The Shulchan Arach is the meal that's like wealth, right? You want to keep your wealth, then Safun, then you should hide it. Don't show off. Shulchan Arach Safun, and then Barach, and then you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed with your wealth if you keep it Safun. Don't show it off. I think a friend also mentioned that, I remember from Rabbi Palm, that he said that when you're on Hanukkah, he says, talking obviously to Yidden and Chutzlars, that in the Hanukkah, he says, when you're going to light your candles, in your windows, okay, you have to do it. He says, but as soon as the time is up, for the shear of the candles, he says, make sure you close your shades. The goyim don't have to look in your houses. And they walk by and they see all the fancy chandeliers, fancy this, and the silver things, and says they don't have to see these things. We said it only causes jealousy. You have to put your candles in the window, fine. As soon as the shear is over, close your shades. Don't let the goyim look in. Same idea. Okay. Another thing with the horse and the strap. I didn't understand exactly. It's from a Sefer Ramasaim Sofim, but I don't understand exactly how it fits in with the Aniusa. But he's talking really about the wealth more. But he says that there were tzaddikim in the past who were very wealthy, like David HaMelech, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. But their godless was that they didn't. Their wealth wasn't part of them. Right, didn't make them. So Rebbe Kodesh, lift up his fingers, and I get any hana from any of the money, etc. So in other words, he had money, but it was makdishit, and David Amel, etc. Didn't become part of them, because it's very dangerous. If the money becomes part of you, then it leads to gaiva, etc. Like, oh, look how wealthy I am, whatever. So if you have it, you keep it as a davar chitzoni, as a something external. Don't bring it. So Meili says that's the hint over here, that the just like a horse, says that where's this strap? In this case, the strap is something, an adornment. But the horse doesn't, walk around like, well, like my strap, isn't it beautiful? Right? Isn't impressed by what he's wearing? He throws something on, he doesn't know what he's wearing. So too, he says, that's how you have to be with your money. Right? If you have money, it should be like Savar Chitzoni, like don't let it affect you. It's like the horse isn't affected by his, so too the person shouldn't. But then it's, I don't know, it has to do with the Aniyusel Yisrael. This is more like the wealth has to be like a strap on a horse. But okay, anyways.
The problem with both of them together is Asher or Shemek B'chelko. So you're wealthy, you're happy with your lot that you happen to have. So is that happiness that from which you'll get this Yisurim or you'll get Ganim? Where are you standing?
Oh, you're going back to the other part. What?
No, from the whole thing.
What?
It says whoever is, you're talking about who's like happy with his wealth, so Mimela, he's more in the Gehenom than the...
those are two different parts. Right, the first part, we just said that if a person is, the idea of the poverty that affects a person, you know, that it's difficult to handle, whatever, so then if that's okay, because that's instead of Gehenom. Instead of Gehenom, right? So for instance, somebody whereas if you don't feeling it, you're not, nothing's wrong, I'm fine. We're talking about the physical, you know, being without food. But if
person,
you want it,
one person has $100, he's some epichelko. Another guy, he's half $1 million to be some epichelko. So, but once you are some epichelko, you only have $100, it's $200. So, in the middle, you're some epichelko and you're fine. You don't really use
Oh, that's what you're asking. Okay, right.
You're rich. You're really rich.
So I'll tell you a good word. To answer that, right? Because I once had this kasha, you know, that it was your kasha exactly, just in different, in general, more you're saying specific over here, but in general, I once had the kasha. That is, Yisurin is supposed to be a kapara, right? So as we're saying, let's say over here instead of Gehenna, what else? That could be a kapara. So what bothered me was that yet if a person is accepts his Yisurin like happily. You know, and he says, okay, Baruch Hashem, Gamzu L'Tova, so where's this kapara? Basically what you're asking, you know, is this supposed to be instead of Gehenna, right? But I'm fine now, okay, you know, and if a person's in the field that he's not suffering, and he's fine, and he's Sameach B'chelko, and so then, but it's supposed to be a kapara for him. It's like, Kulish, I'm saying, oh, darn, I ran into the big kapara, now he's not a kapara, because he's happy with it. He's like, okay, give me more, no problem, you know, I'm fine with that, Hashem, whatever you give me, I'm okay with it. But where's the kapara? So I once asked Reuven Karelstein, he once spoke here, I don't know, maybe 12 years ago, a long time ago, but he once spoke here, and he said a vort that had the same kash on it, because it applies to a lot of, it's a yesod. So he took me aside after, he said, let me tell you a yesod. He says that, why is it not bothering you? Why is it not bothering you when Hashem gives you something wrong, and you're saying gamzu l'tov, and you're saying, oh, no problem. Why is it not bothering? Because you are in a madrega, right? You worked on yourself that not everybody does, and not everybody can stop there and say, gamzu l'tov, oh, it's for the best, or whatever. You know, they're cursing out when it happens. Whereas it takes us a madrega to be samech b'chelko, to all these things are madregas. She said, if the reason why you're not suffering is because you're madrega, so then you get the credit as if you were suffering. Now the Hashem is sending you these Yisurim, and these are your kapara. Now if you doesn't affect you because you're Madrega, you're saying Gamzu L'Tov, it's for the best, then Hashem is going to say, let the kapara work for you, it's going to work for you, because the only reason why it's not working is you're Madrega. You're not going to get punished for your Madrega. So no, I can't affect you. No, you'll get the kapara as if you're suffering, and you're not. The same thing.
I mentioned to you on Motzei Shabbos from Lekach Tov, talking about this exact Indian,
right.
He says, if I understood there, he said a little bit differently, I mean, it doesn't contradict at all, just another way of looking at it, is that because our whole purpose is to get close to Hashem and to get Ahava to Hashem and all of that, so when you get Yisurim and you're able to accept them ba'ahava, the reward, the schar, the kapara that you're getting in Shemayim afterwards, for that kind of being makabel Yisurim is on a higher level than the regular suffering, and the suffering evokes kapara, because you've gotten to the closeness with Hashem, to know that He loves you, know He's doing it for your own sake, you accept it ba'ahava, and that is now even though you're now in a happy state with it, as much as you can be, but that is the purpose of it, to bring you to that point. So if you're at that point, so it's done the job, the ultimate.
Right. Okay. Yeah. The idea. Okay. Next, says here from Yud Amud Aleph that let's see here. The Gemara said, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Yavi Hasam, they're discussing there the, where do we see the inyan of that you can be shoel on a neder, like matir neder, and they bring different sources, that where do we see a source for this? So he says, my source is better than all of the theirs, as it says, Shneimar lo yachel devaro, mash mashahu me'eno mechel, he can't himself be mechel, he has to keep what he said, but achirim, others could die in or whatever, they could be mochlim lo. Now he himself has to keep it, he can't cancel what he's saying, he has to lo yachel devaro, but somebody else could, as we see this hatara in sorcery. So he says, brings here from the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, that he says there's a remez that of doing Ataras Nadarim on Dafka on Erev Rosh Hashanah. This is where, because you take the letters, the Sofei Tevas of Lo Yachel Dvaro Kechol, they spell out Elo. So I was thinking, I don't know if this is maybe what he meant, could be, that where that's that Elo, but how do we know on Dafka on Erev Rosh Hashanah? So Stamas, because the Sofei Teva, not the Rosh Teva, so it's the end of the word, so it's the end of the month, so it could be. Yeah.
So, what
does
it say,
Okay, let's see, it says here, from the Gemara, Minayin Shenishbein L'Kayim Es HaMitzvah. So in words, how do we know, where is the source that we... you can make a shavua to keep a mitzvah, mekayim a mitzvah. Shenemar nishpati v'akayema lishmor mitzvotei tzidkecha. So Tosfos over here says, alakayim es a mitzvah. The gears here. The shari lahazkir shem shemayim kadei lizeruzei nafshe. But the chiddush Tosfos says is that you're allowed to mention shem shemayim. You're allowed to make like a shavua in order to just to mizarez yourself. Okay. So he brings here from Rav Pa'alim Chida that he brings a raya from here to the Marshak. The Marshak had the following shali. Somebody there was a shochet and was before Erev Yom Kippur, and he was there in Kaparis, and the shochet was shechting, you know, the chicken. So he had the following shali. He says, I checked a whole bunch of chickens, and for different people, and everybody has their kapars, give me the chicken shech, you know. So the question is like this: if I do kisui hadam, he says I don't have to make a bracha for each thing. Make one bracha for all the kisui. Make a bracha and then cover, do all the kisuis with one bracha. Whereas on the other hand, if I give it to the bialim to do, right, and say, here, you know, people sometimes want to do that, here, can I have the, I want to cover the dam, and they make the bracha, and they cover the dam. So he says, is that okay? You know, the Baili want to do it, because it could be like some, you know, bracha sheina tzricha, because I'm any race covered, I made my bracha already, and I can cover all these things with my one bracha, and if they make a bracha on it, it's like a bracha sheina tzricha, because the blood can be covered perfectly fine by me, and with my one bracha that I made, and it's not necessary to make all these extra brachas. So the question is that okay? Is can they make their each one make their bracha, or is that not a good thing because it's a bracha shein tzricha? So he wants to bring from our Gemara over here. He brought as a raya that it's okay. Why? He says because we see from here that it's like a kol shekein. Your peers, like Tosfos says, what's the chiddush? You're allowed to take and to mention mazkir shem shemayim. What? Not just to mizarzei nafshe. You know, if you already are mushbav ome from our Sinai, right? You already have the shavu. You're supposed to, you know, do this thing anyways. I have to do this mitzvah. But just to make me do it with a little more zrizus or whatever, so that I'm allowed to make a shvua and mazkir shem shemayim just for that extra zrizus. So he says, what do we see from there? That's fine. So too over here, kol shekein. Here, it says it's greater, the rabbim osim as a mitzvah than a yachid. So here, I'm marbin, in the mitzvahs. You know, I'm having more people do the mitzvah, not just me. Other people doing the mitzvah as well, kisui dam. So definitely that gives room that you can, you know, mention Shem Shemayim. That was make a bracha more brachas, just like over here, just the mezaris yourself, you can make a, you can mention Shem Shemayim. So over here, to have more people be involved with the mitzvah, which is a bigger mila than a yachido says a mitzvah, Rabbi Moses says a mitzvah. So definitely the extra mila, it deserves, it's not considered a bracha shem tzricha, we see from here, and therefore that's okay.
So why can't they do the kisui without making a bracha?
No, what do you mean? Oh, they could. Well, no, because you have, what do you mean? Because you have to make a bracha when you make a kisa.
Okay, fine. But
so
but
what?
He can still do the mitzvah if he's bracha already covered it.
No, then he's, I mean, unless he makes him a shliach to make a mitzvah for him, whatever, some is
okay.
It's either him doing it or... Okay.